Wonderful. Shall we pray before we do anything else? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. Thank you for Revelation 21 and 22 and this picture of our future forever with you. Lord, please help us to be amazed by the future that awaits us. Please stir our hearts this evening. Amen. Every year, Every year, 6 million people visit the National Gallery in London. 6 million people jump off the tube at Charing Cross, ascend those steps at Trafalgar Square, and spend a couple of hours wandering round that incredible building, gazing at the 2,000 plus pictures on display, pausing quietly to contemplate things like Constable's The Haywain or Turner's Rain, Steam and Speed. Maybe you're not into art, that's all right, but you know what it's like to be captivated by the cinematography and visual effects of a good movie. You've entered a darkened cinema screen and found your seats and had a film grab your attention and affect your emotions for a couple of hours. Well, as we come to Revelation 21 and 22, I want to invite us to just slow down and gaze at this incredible picture of our future marriage to God displayed as a city. Because that's what this passage is. It is a picture of our future. Look down at verses 9 and 10 with me. It will also be on the screen. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. John is taken to see the bride, taken to see the wife of the Lamb. And we know from what we've seen in Revelation so far that the bride of Christ is his people. So just cast your mind back to chapter 19. Chapter 19 in verses 6 to 8 says, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear.' Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people." The idea of our marriage to Christ being that moment when we are perfectly united with him forever is a glorious image. So as John is invited to see the bride, you'd expect a picture of a wedding. But instead, we're shown a picture of a city. It is slightly bizarre. Verses 9 to 14 are all about this elaborate city. And yet, this picture of a city is once again a picture of God's people. This city has 12 gates with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written on them. That represents God's people in the Old Testament. And this city has 12 foundations with the names of the 12 apostles on, representing God's people in the New Testament. This city is a picture of the future of God's people. Like a bride with her husband, we will be perfectly united with Christ. And like residents of a city, we will dwell with Christ forever. Don't get distracted by the imagery. This is a picture of our future. And all we're going to do now is gaze at that picture. Soak in its beauty and pick up just a few details, a few of the beautiful details of our future. We'll look at six details. Detail number one, we will be with God. Verses 15 to 22 are full of temple and tabernacle imagery. The tabernacle and then the temple was where God dwelt in the midst of his people in the Old Testament. The elaborate tent and the grand building had a room in the middle called the Holy of Holies. It was a special place associated with the presence of God. And only the high priest was allowed to enter once a year. And it was a cube. 1 Kings tells us that this Holy of Holies was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits tall. It was a cube. And in Revelation 21, John is told to go and measure the dimensions of this city, and he discovers that it is a perfect cube. The high priest who could enter the Holy of Holies had to adorn himself with a chest plate that had 12 different precious stones, 12 different jewels in it, just like we see decorating the foundations of this city. And then comes verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. No need for a temple, no need for the Holy of Holies, because God will dwell with us. There's no need for a temple, no need for the Holy of Holies, because Jesus is there. What amazing hope for the future. Unrestricted, unmitigated, perfect, pure, personal access to God. That is amazing. And more than just access to God. Detail number two, we will be safe. Verses 23 and to 27 paint this wonderful detail of a city without a sun, because God gives it its light. Jesus shines in its midst. And light in John's gospel is a symbol of goodness and purity. So this city is ablaze with goodness. There will be no news reports of violent crime or criminal activity in this city. No fraud nor fear. And so as the nations pour in, as this global gathering of the future takes place, we hear that double-headed statement of security in verses 25 and 27. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The gates of this city will never need to be shut against a hostile world. Nothing impure will ever enter it. This city is ablaze with goodness, and we will be safe. Detail number three, we'll have life forever. Look down at chapter 22, verses 1 to 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This city has echoes of Eden. There is a river filled with the water of life flowing from God through the city, and it's lined with the tree of life producing fruit and healing or saving the nations. This is a picture of life. This is a future life forever. This is exactly what Jesus came to win for us. John, when he was writing his gospel, wrote with a purpose, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so John, as he's writing his gospel, says that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Jesus. And tells us that Jesus himself declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus also said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus died to win us life. Life forever with the one who loved us enough to die for us. What an incredible detail of this picture. Detail number four. We will serve God. Now, this one might not excite you as much, but look down at verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Now, the idea of an eternity of serving might not excite you. But notice who we are. Servants. We will be doing exactly what we were made to do. We will be doing exactly what we were saved to do. Now, I don't know exactly what's entailed in serving God in the future. I'm sure that it will be different for each one of us. But I do know that I've never been as perfectly fulfilled in my work as I will be then. My life has never had as much meaning as it will then. When that day comes, I will look back on this life with the sense of being a square peg awkwardly fitted into a round hole. Because on that day, I will be doing exactly what I was made to do. Our future contains perfect fulfillment. Number five, we will see Jesus. Look down at verse 4 with me. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. I'm not sure that I can properly describe how much I am looking forward to this. To seeing him face to face. Not seeing dimly, no veil obscuring the view, but face to face with Jesus. This tiny sentence is the detail in this picture that I find myself gazing at for the longest. This is the longest pause for me in God's National Gallery. If you're a believer, can you think of anything sweeter than seeing your Saviour face to face? I can't. This is where the imagery of the wedding is helpful. I will confess, I don't remember a huge amount of the details of my wedding day. When I think back, It is a bit of a blur of people and places and events and emotions. But the one thing I do remember is Sarah. That I remember being stood at the front of church and turning around and seeing her walk down the aisle. I remember the joy. You know, what's the outstanding moment of a wedding? It's not the cake, or the gifts, or the wedding breakfast, or the speeches. It's the groom and the bride being united. You see, seeing Sarah was the outstanding moment of my earthly wedding. Seeing Jesus face to face will be the outstanding moment of my heavenly wedding. And then the final detail. We will reign. We'll reign. And look down at verse 5. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Now there is no indication or mention of subjects, people we're going to rule over in this passage. So when you hear the word reign, don't think of power. Think of reign in terms of being exalted like royalty. Now, there's been a lot, in the media over the last couple of weeks about Meghan and Harry, but there's been a lot in the media over the last year or so about Meghan and Harry. Frankly, I'm not interested. And I don't really have an opinion on them having lost their HRH titles. What I am interested in, though, is that in this picture of the future, we will be given HRH titles. His Royal Highness, Her Royal Highness. HRH Adam Thrift. HRH Catherine Fairbairn. HRH Ros Wilkes. I'm not going to go through all 600 people on the electoral roll, but you get the idea. We will be exalted. We will be exalted. And that is regardless of our lot in life. The World Mission Group have just been reading this book. It's called Something Needs to Change by David Platt. And it's all about the needs of the world and the urgency of Christian mission. And as Platt treks through the Himalayas, he meets some desperately lowly people. Disabled men who spent their childhoods chained in sheds. And young women who have been rescued from the horrors of sex trafficking, but who have come to know and love Jesus. It is ridiculously wonderful news that they will have royal titles conferred on them. From chains in a cattle shed to being given HRH status, all because of the grace of God. That is wonderful news. So there we go. We've briefly gazed at this picture of the future we have to look forward to. The challenge for us now, as we leave God's National Gallery, is to stay captivated, to let the future we've just glimpsed at stay with us as we continue to try to live our Christian lives. People often mistakenly say that some people are too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. That is nonsense. How do I keep going as a Christian through all of life's ups and downs without this hope for the future? How do I contend for the gospel in the face of opposition without the knowledge that one day I will be with God and I will be safe? How do I live for a Savior who tells me to take up my cross, deny myself, and follow him unless I know that one day I'll see him face to face? How do I persevere under persecution unless I know that one day he's going to grant me that HRH title? It is nonsense to think that focusing on this future will negatively impact my life and my ministry in the here and now. Nothing is more vital than knowing and longing for this future. Nothing. And so as we end, let me encourage you to dwell on these details during the week. I'm going to put all six details up on the screen. What I would love us to do is to take a minute, pick one, consider it, and then pray to God and give him thanks for it. Choose one that particularly struck you, reflect on it, and then give thanks to God for it. I'll give us a minute or so to do that in the quiet of our hearts, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father God, thank you so much that the future we have to look forward to is so much better. Thank you for the joys and the privileges that await us in the future. Lord, please would you help us to keep our eyes focused on this future, to long for the day when we will see the Lord Jesus face to face. Father, please help us to be heavenly-minded people, so that we are of earthly use now. We can do earthly good now. As this week goes on, Lord, please would you help us to keep on considering and thinking about and being thankful for the details we looked at this evening. Please help us, we pray. Amen.